Welcome, everyone, to the Victory Network and your home group. My name is Greg Stevens, and we have got a wonderful time. If you don't know what home group is, well, it was a program that was on the network earlier. It was on Thursdays, but now, new house, new day.
Yeah.
And we are here on Wednesday evenings, prime time all across America. So glad that you're joining us. Welcome all of you that watch us on Roku. Watch us on Dish Network Channel 265. You're watching us on the internet. You're watching us on Facebook. You're watching us so many places. The program is about you. We obviously have a topic that we discuss, but it's a Your Home Group Bible study. And we have reports from people in Singapore. Hello, Singapore.
Yeah.
And people that watch us in Australia and Africa and so many different places. Here in the United States, we know of a little group that meets up in New York and watches together with us. We're so grateful that you are with us. When I say your home group, well, how is it my home group if I'm watching you? Well, I have an iPad here in my hand. We have a social media team that's with us. If you're watching on Facebook, you can just type in your question or comment. We want you to be part of the discussion. If you're not watching on Facebook, you're watching on the network, the information just came up on the screen. Ask home group at bvovn.com, or you can text a question to 682-302-1301. Let me say it again, 682-302-1301. Sorry, we really want to hear from you. I want to ask you a favor, though. With your questions and your comments, I want you to do me a favor, because the program really is about you.
That's right.
I want to know what topics you would like to hear discussed in the future. Man, I always wish some pastor would talk to me about this.
Right.
Well, we want to know. So just send me that. If you don't want to be part of the conversation tonight, we're talking about pride. If you don't want to be part of that, just send me what topics you'd like to see in the future, because we really want to know about that. So I got this ready. You're ready. Let me introduce you to the people that are with me. Last week, we had all the pastors who will be the host, Dr. Gene Bailey and John Jester and our wives. And so let me start right here. My wife, Michelle, is with me again.
Hello, everybody.
And we have the original gang from Home Group 1.
Hey.
You remember that?
Yes.
So Annette Taylor is with me right here. Annette. And then Cynthia Villaggio. Hey, Cynthia, welcome back.
Hi, I'm back.
And in case anybody wants to know, it's pink, right?
It's called rose gold. That's
rose
the color.
Gold. Everybody asks, one of the games that was played by our viewers is, what will Cynthia's hair be? And so today is rose gold. And then my friend Dale Mock is
good to see you guys.
With
good to
us
be back.
And all. So guys, welcome. New house,
yeah,
new day,
good,
new look.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's good look.
But we're back. And so here's the rules to home group. We discuss a topic, and we take their questions and comments, and we do it in the spirit of faith.
Yeah.
And jump in when you got something, and we'll go from there, right? Okay, we're talking about pride. I did the definitions for you to look it up. When pride or proud is used as a noun, it's this: a feeling or deep pleasure or satisfaction derived, listen to this, from one's own achievements.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Isn't that interesting? Or yeah. As a verb, especially proud of a particular quality or skill. Mm. Now, from the Word of God, there's several Greek definitions for pride, but one of them that was really interesting, it means to envelop with smoke.
Wow.
Example, figuratively, to inflate with self-conceit, high-minded,
right?
Wow.
Be lifted up with pride, be proud. Another Greek definition for the word pride is disdain.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That you kind of disdain something,
right,
or something.
Everybody's lower than you.
Everybody's low. Well, there you go. That's the Dale definition.
That's disdain, yeah. It's comparison. Pride works off comparison, right?
Yeah.
So, or pride in my definition, Cynthia, would be it's a self-image, mm-hmm. right, that builds yourself up in that position of thought, and then you're so much greater.
You're so lifted up
than anybody
else.
I'm greater than anybody.
But so what's the Bible
it's
say
a self-image.
About? What does the Bible say about pride?
Pride. Boy, you can be lifted up and you'll fall flat of your face.
Well, I hear the in Proverbs, I believe it talks about, and then it's quoted in the New Testament, that the Lord resists
the proud.
The proud.
Yeah.
Why would he do that? If he's love, guys, why would he resist?
I'll answer that. Well, okay. You're working with a self-image, yes, right? So God's working with a self-image, right? And he's trying to give you a whole different image of yourself. So you're totally, I would say that Abraham, we'll just use Abraham for example. God came to him and said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. But his self-image was, I'm not the father of many nations. I've never had a kid. Mm-hmm. So pride is a self-image that you create. Mm-hmm. And God's trying to give you a new self-image. Mm-hmm. He's trying to say, no, you are this, this, yeah, and this.
He's out to take yourself out of the image.
Yes, and give you a new image who you are in Christ.
Because we couldn't save ourselves, could we?
No.
No.
That's the danger of pride. Mm-hmm. You think you can until you fall.
Don't you think that pride, though, it is a divisive thing between, yes, you and God? So instead of relying on God, because the whole purpose, right, of our creation was for relationship.
Right.
And to depend and to trust and to lean and to go to God with everything.
Right.
But the minute pride comes in, now I'm putting distance between, yeah, me and God. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm saying, I don't need you.
Right.
I can do this.
Yeah.
That's kind of
my image is great.
I got this. Yeah. I got this.
And so what happens when you do that? Well, does he let you do it? Is that, yeah, what you're saying to me?
You're moving in two different directions, wouldn't, yeah, you say?
I would say.
All right. I'm going to play a clip for you, guys in the control room. Clip number four, where God resists the proud. It's Kenneth Copeland. Watch this.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now that's that. Hey, now wait a minute. I'm going to get exalted? Well, I thought we were looking for humility here, and I'm going to get exalted? I mean, come on here. It isn't that God doesn't want you or doesn't want me to be exalted. He doesn't want you and me exalting ourselves. Amen. So stick with me here now, because this is going to get pretty thick before we get done here. Now, how do you do that, sir? Casting all. Casting all your care upon him. All of it. All of it. God does not want you. Jesus didn't go to the cross to enable you and me to be able to carry half our cares. He doesn't want you carrying one care. He wants you and me to live a carefree, Holy Ghost empowered life. Amen.
Wow. Well, there's the word from Brother Copeland. And this goes right to our first question that came in tonight is Trish from Facebook. And she says this, isn't the opposite of pride being humble? Is that what he was just referring to?
Yeah. Agreeing, yeah, with what God has to say about,
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Humility is saying and understanding and knowing who I am in Christ. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that is humility. But it's not, that's not a prideful thing, knowing who you are in Christ, which is what he wants us to know, so I can walk my life out in him. So humility is knowing who you are in Christ.
But also knowing what he's gifted you with.
So
God has given me these gifts, or he's given me, he's enabled me, empowered,
yeah,
me,
yeah,
given,
yeah,
me the authority to do the things that I do. And therefore, the reflection of that is him.
Yes,
the reflection,
right,
of everything I do should be him.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Yeah. Not me.
Yeah. Right.
Because I also think humility can go the opposite direction, where people are, they act so humble that it becomes prideful.
Okay, now that goes directly to a question that Joy, you just sent in a question on Facebook, and thank you for your comments and questions. We want these. Joy asked this, can pride also manifest itself in a form of things like low self-esteem, mm-hmm, and self-loathing?
Yes.
So how in the world can we ever live victorious, guys, with pride if it's at both extremes?
Well, pride is of yourself. Pride is to lift yourself up.
Yeah.
Right?
You've got all you need.
Yeah. So I'm puffing my own self up. Right. Right? So that's the opposite of love. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But humility is somebody lifts me up. Somebody. So in Ephesians here it says,
good.
And God hath raised us up. So yeah. God's doing the raising.
Yes, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And not Dale doing the mm-hmm, raising. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So God exalts you through what? Humility.
Yeah.
He raises me. I don't have to raise myself, or I don't have to say, hey, look at me. I did this, this, and this.
Right.
Right? And make myself this amazing thing in your eyes and in my own eyes. Mm-hmm. So I go, Lord, you raise me up. You tell me who I am and who I'm not.
Right.
So that's humility, is listening to what the Lord says about you.
So Tricia asked the question then, and I go right to this, and I'll ask it again. So pride means being able to do things without God.
Yeah.
Yes. Your own self, that's a great
your
definition.
Own efforts.
I don't need God. I can do it myself.
So that's really self-righteousness.
That is self-righteousness.
Yes.
It was like Job kept saying, I didn't do anything wrong. What have I done?
Yeah.
Job was full of pride.
You ever had this, guys? You ever had this happen in your life? I mean, have you ever experienced this? You got a personal example. Tell me when you were prideful. No, I mean, I'm trying to look for that life application for somebody out there that's not just Bible words.
Well, here's an example. You want pride. Here's pride. So I bought something as an investment, okay? So I owned it for about a year, and the Lord said, sell this. And I said, no, I'm not selling it. If I keep it, I'll make this much money, right?
Right.
So pride is saying, I know more than you, God.
Yeah.
The pride is, no, really, I got this. I'm going to make a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not doing it. So I figured out that when the market dropped the week later, he was warning me. He's going, no, listen to me. I want you to make money. So he was telling me to get out of that. Mm-hmm. Stock.
Like you thought you knew more than him.
I thought I knew more than him. So there's a real good example of pride. I know more than God. I can mm-hmm. take care of this stock. You don't need to offer me any advice. So I lost money.
That's Proverbs 11:2 in the Passion.
Yes.
When you act with presumption, convinced that you're right, don't be surprised if you fall flat on your face.
Exactly.
But walking in humility helps you to make wise decisions.
Right.
So that's what you just
said. So then because I went through that, you know, you realize you're not as smart as you think you are.
Yeah.
So pride kind of pops you too at the same time. Yeah. It's got a double whammy.
Yeah.
So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, listen, I lost this money. And you know, what's going on? He said, Dale, I called you home for supper and you wouldn't come. Now you're complaining that you haven't got anything to eat. He says, so are you going to learn to listen to me when I tell you to do something? I said, yeah. So my pride bubble was popped, right?
Yeah.
And so he said, if you'll listen to me, you'll make more money than you ever lost in this deal, right? So I had a lesson in pride. I'll put it that way.
Wonderful. All right. Text. We're taking your comments, questions. The program is about you, really, and your home group. We want you to be part of this. Information is right there on the screen for you and how you can text us. You can email us. If you're on Facebook, all you got to do is type in your question or comment. We have moderators right now. I have the iPad in my hand, and they come directly to me. Here's one that's a text that says, is it prideful to decline help or ask for help from others when clearly there is a need?
It can be.
Mm-hmm. It can be.
It can be, yeah. Because you can decline the help.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I did have an example. I knew that the Lord told me to give somebody something. And they said, no, no, no. The Lord said not to take anything. I have to do this. I have to depend on Him. Well, yeah.
Well, they don't understand you people.
But isn't that what the verse says? Yeah. You just said, Annette, give and it shall be given to you, good ministry.
Yeah.
Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall what?
Men
give.
Yeah.
God, He's not going to rain down cars from heaven, is He?
No.
It's going to come
through
somebody.
People.
He's going to use people.
I thought, well, all right, if you want. Don't want, okay.
Because
I had given them.
Well, then,
before.
Cynthia, what happens to your blessing? Because you gave it away, right?
They didn't take it. So.
But you were asked to do it and you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So you were blessed.
So she still, you did what you were told to do.
She was in the blessing line.
Yeah.
What's that?
She was in the blessing line. Because she offered it, they rejected it.
Yeah.
But she found
somebody. And I heard Keith Moore say this. I heard Keith Moore say this, that he once tried to give a watch. It was a very nice watch to someone. And the person said, oh, no, I can't take it. You know, that's too good for me. Well, that's pride. Mm-hmm. But he said he wasn't just rejecting his gift. The Lord told him to give that watch.
Yeah.
You were rejecting what God, the blessing God had for you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
And then probably griping about you're not blessed.
Yeah, like.
Well, it can be pride, too. If you're really in need, but you're too proud to let anybody know you need something, you can get very prideful there. I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of a lot.
This is why we like you, Annette, because you're just...
I love you, Annette.
You're not
we'll
sure
tell
what,
you what we did
this
wrong.
Corner of the room right here, this corner right here. It used to be here, but this corner right here, you never know. Hey, guys, if we can, I'd like to go to clip number 3 here. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are speaking. And he says, humble yourself so God can exalt you. Cast all your cares on God. Listen to what he says here. Carrying the care is pride.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. We were not created carry a single care. Clip 3, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland.
Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How do you humble yourself? What is the Holy Spirit telling us? What is the Apostle Peter telling us? How do you humble yourself? Casting. Did you hear that, Goose? Whoa, glory to God. You know, we usually have Word Bird out here, and now we got Goosey-Goosey.
Loosey-Goosey.
And one of the things they're honking about, they got a little gosling that's following them around. It just hatched out here a few days ago. Casting all. I remember Keith Moore's friend when he was at Rhema. He said, Keith, I'm going to do a word study on the word all. He said, you just see it all over the whole Bible. So he did it. He looked up in the Greek. He looked it up in the Chaldean. He looked it up. He looked it up in the Hebrew. He looked it up every which way. He said, you know what it means? He said, what? All.
Yeah, that's it.
All means all. Any way you go at it. Casting all.
All your care.
Well, Jesus, if you just take half of this off of me, I can carry the rest. That's pride. I do not. No human being was created to carry care. You can't do it. You can't. It'll kill you.
Wow. That's strong.
Okay. That's if you've ever wondered what it's like to sit on the front row when Brother Copeland's preaching and he looks right at you with those baby blue eyes, you just experienced it right there. But he's right, isn't he?
Yes.
We were not created
to carry
this.
Right.
Jesus carried it. It's pretty arrogant, isn't it, to try to carry something he already carried.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the main word in that was all. And I think sometimes we will say, oh, you can help me with this, but not this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is all. And we don't realize we're in pride when we don't give it all. That was powerful, powerful word.
Yeah. And sometimes we're in pride when we don't want anybody to know we need help. Or you could help me with something. That's prideful. Because I look at my own self. Because of what I've done for so many years for the ministry, I had answers for people. And then, whammo, I get hit with something horrible. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, and when one person did say to me, how could that happen to you? I said, well, because I'm just a human being and the devil's after me too. But if I got in pride, I wouldn't receive you praying for me. See, I need your prayer, too.
Now, it's what you're talking about, because I remember we were Rhema students, and I remember at the first of the month, you had to have your tuition paid if you were doing the monthly thing. And I remember if you didn't have it done, you couldn't go to class.
Right.
They'd stamp your little badge and you couldn't go to class. And I remember there was this one guy, he would always pray real loud toward the end of the month about his tuition. He'd pray around you and he'd pray really loud. And I guess he was trying to get somebody to
help him.
Help him you're with his tuition.
Help me.
But that's kind of pride, isn't it? Because really, God's not his source at right, that point. Right, he's right. looking to somebody. So what you're talking about letting somebody know is not saying that God's not your source. Right.
Because they say, where was your faith? Well, my faith was on the Word of God, but they chose something that was horrendous, that was horrible, that set hell in motion, cost their life. And people say, well, where was your faith? My faith was in God to deliver them.
Yeah. Mm.
There you go.
So you just have to realize you don't know it all. But right. you do act on what you do know.
You act on what you do know.
Yes. Amen.
I like that.
And you have to know that I don't know it all. And I know I don't know
But we know who
all.
Does.
I right. know
and
who
that's
does.
That's the key. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when he was talking about casting your cares, and he says that you're not...
How do I do that?
That you're not designed to carry them, right? So I teach spirit, soul, body. So your soul man doesn't have the ability to deal with cares.
And your soul man is your...
Is your intellect.
Your intellect.
Your intellect. Your emotions. Answers aren't in your intellect, like okay. Kenneth's saying.
Yes,
he says, you're not designed to carry cares. But your spirit man is connected to the one that you can hear. And your spirit man and your heart man are the one that get the information for God to handle a care or directions in a care. So you get direction of, you know, you're casting your cares, but then there can be information that you're receiving for the Lord on things you need to do, like maybe ask for some help.
Yeah, ask for some help.
I like
and that. Another way to cast it off is just, to me, it was a simple thing. How do you cast something off?
Just like that.
She's a
And change my thought.
Yeah.
Give my bracelet back.
You got bracelets flying toward you.
give me a break.
I like it. But literally, with that attitude, right?
I do it with that attitude and I change my thought. I changed my thought to what he said. He said, cast my care on him because he cares for me. And so, therefore, why should I take it?
There it goes again. That's twice.
I know, it's twice.
So, you're using your faith in that regard,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Because he said to do it.
The faith he gave me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he said
Everybody has the same measure of faith.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're taking your questions, your comments, and they are coming in. Thank you. Numbers right there on the screen, address, how you can text it if you want to text. It's 682-302-1301, or on Facebook, you just type it in. Also, do me another favor. If you text us or you put your comment on Facebook, let me know what kind of topics you want in the future, because we really want to cover the things you want to hear and you need to learn. Okay? Here's some more. Let's see. I did that one. Here's a text that came in. So how do you begin to deal with pride in your own life?
Recognize when you got it.
Recognize you've got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, recognizing you got it, then you can do something with it. So what can you do with it when you recognize you got it? You can get it.
That's great. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. If it comes over here, I'm keeping it. If it flies this direction, it's fine.
Tune into home group
and Annette will throw things at you.
Yeah. Or wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing.
Yes, it is.
I know you want it. I'll give it to you in a minute. Wisdom is the principal thing. Because Proverbs 13, again in the Passion, Proverbs 13:10 says, wisdom opens your heart to receive wise counsel.
Oh, that's good.
But pride closes your ears to advice and gives birth to only quarrels and strife. So if you want to be out of quarrels and strife, and you're probably in it if you're in pride, you want to switch over
but
and get
you
wisdom.
But you know if you're
you
in
know
it.
The symptoms of pride, right?
Yes,
we all know them.
You know it.
Wait, y'all look at it. Yeah.
We're not looking at you, Cynthia.
Y'all know.
Okay, so that goes, Joy asked this. The Bible says, you mentioned Job a while ago, Cynthia, so I'm throwing this back to you. The Bible says Job was righteous in his own eyes.
Self-righteousness.
In his eyes.
In his own eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pride is, I can do it. I did it. I pat myself on the back.
Now, I prayed all the time. I always prayed about my kids.
Yeah.
And I've always brought things to the Lord. And I don't understand why this happened because this happened to me. And I understand. And then all my crops fell and all my fitness. And I lost all of this.
And my children
lost all of that. And I've been righteous. I wish I was never born. He moaned and groaned a lot.
Yes, he did.
And not that the bad things didn't happen, but he carried on. And then his friends weren't any help.
But you get in it, you bring that stuff to yourself.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? You bring that stuff to yourself.
You get in the negative realm, and all you can see is trouble's coming. Woe me, trouble coming, trouble coming. If you get in that mode, you have fallen prey to the enemy that will rob you of everything.
So are you saying that you will attract?
You will attract everything.
You're a creator. You start creating.
So you mean you're attracting people that...
You are attracting
the thing
trouble.
You don't want is what you're attracting.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You have to get
the answer.
So
how do I get out of that, Annette? How do we get out of that?
I find the answer in this word, and I stay with it till it be that way.
Okay, so how do I find the answer to that? Somebody... Because that went off in my spirit. Somebody's doing that. They're creating their own self-fulfilling prophecy.
Because they keep saying the same thing. Okay. They keep calling it
to
them.
You're going to have to change what you say to what the Word says.
You've got to change your belief. It's all in belief.
Correct.
Everything God has given us, you have to believe it.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting it, then you check up on your believer.
Yeah, you know when you're in the flow. You know when you're in the flow. And you know, if we're talking to born-again Christians, you know the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And you know when you're not moving with the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Well, you hit on a key point. You said it starts in the soul realm where your emotions are. And we talked about this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
When your emotions get involved, it can be like a train going real fast.
Yeah.
And those emotions will continue to stir that up.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you get into the spirit part of you and you say, no, I'm going to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Mm-hmm. And prayer is a big part of that. And then being able to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying, who leads you to wise counsel.
Yeah.
In all things.
And it'll slow you down.
So you can operate from, you can know where you're operating from by listening to yourself talk.
Yes.
Amen.
So if you're operating from the soul realm, you're going to start talking about what a rotten day you had. You're going to talk about experience because that's your soul realm. And then if you're operating from your heart realm, you're going to be saying, I always have a rotten day.
That's a key.
Yes.
So now you're going, I've built an image. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? I've experienced a rotten day, but now you're going to start believing, you're going to be building this image of pride. I always have a rotten day.
So the main thing is the noun that you're using is I.
Yes.
When everything starts with I, you have a
problem. Oh, that's
pride
right there, isn't it? And then if you're operating from the Spirit, you would have information from the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you would say this, I've spoke to the Lord. I know I have experienced this today, but He has given me a different belief about this situation. He's speaking to me about this, and you start speaking from a position that God is talking to you.
Right.
The day's not talking to you, your belief's not talking to you, but the Lord is talking to you, and you're saying what He says.
Yeah. So when you're...
Wait, go back to Job.
Oh,
okay, Job.
Okay.
We're back to Job. Job 3:20.
I was waiting for Cynthia to spark in.
Come on, Sparky.
Job 3:24 and 25. In 26, and this is in the CEV. Moaning and groaning are my food and drink.
Wow.
And my worst fears have all come true. I have no peace or rest, only troubles and worries. So that means you're not in a place of praise and worship.
That's right.
That's right.
You're not in a place of joy and thanksgiving. And joy has to be a part of your life because Isaiah 55:12, is it? Isaiah 55:12 says that you are led out. Enjoy joy, and you're led with peace. I got to get it right. Because you're not going to have peace and you're not going to be led right until you have joy. Yeah. And if you have joy, you probably won't be in pride.
How do I get joy?
Joy, it's a force.
Okay.
It's a force. And you choose to get into joy.
And
you get into joy by thanksgiving.
Okay.
You get into joy by praise, by worship.
So I'm using my mouth.
You're using your mouth instead of saying nothing goes right.
There you go.
And you choose to believe that.
All right. I want to get to a clip here with Pastor George and Gloria in clip number one. And he talked about a little bit what you were talking about with the I thing. Examples of pride, the differences between that and humility and honor. Here's Pastor George.
And so in Proverbs 18, verse 12, in the Amplified Classic or the original Amplified Bible, it says, haughtiness comes before disaster, but humility before honor.
Haughtiness would be pride.
That would be pride.
Full actions.
That would be someone who's always talking about themselves, always pointing the finger at themselves, self-promoting themselves. Humility, though, comes before honor. Honor is promotion.
What does it say? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that you may be exalted
in due time. That's right, Gloria.
So that's exactly right. If you do that, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you will be exalted in due time because that will cause you to be exalted.
That will cause you. That will cause you to be exalted.
Doing what God says will cause you to be exalted.
That was 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 that you were quoting. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may promote you in due time.
And there's the answer to that. Humble yourself not to a person, but to God. Yeah. And to His Word.
Well, what was good about that was the humility brings you to honor.
Yes.
So there's a place in humility where you're not lifting yourself up. But
you're not lifting yourself
no,
up.
No, but that humility then will lift you and God will raise you into a place of honor. That's amazing.
I remember Dad Hagen telling a story, and then they all jumped up in here. Dad Hagen told a story about a young preacher who was just like this and just ready to go, and they were singing, and he's like, stop singing so I can get up there, you know? I mean, he was just, you know, like a hamster on a wheel.
Right.
And it came time for him, and he ran up on the stage and started preaching and fell flat on his face. I mean, it was horrible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he came off the stage like this, you know, just really humble about the thing. And I remember him saying, if he would have gone up the way he came down, he would have come down the way he went up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
If he had gone up on the stage the way he came down, he would have come down the way he went up.
That's amazing.
In other words, if he'd have went up humble under the direction of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're talking about that, when you mentioned that, talking about humility, it goes back to a trust issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do I trust myself or do I trust the Father?
Right.
So if I trust the Father, well, you see it all through Scripture, people that trusted the Lord, or we would use the word faith, when He spoke to them, they applied it. And when you apply what He says, what's it do? It lifts you up. It lifts you up. So it's a trust issue with me. I see trust. You know, am I going to trust what the Lord says about me and calls me and tells me what to do? So it only promotes you.
Perfect. We are taking your questions and comments. I have a whole screen full. We're going to get to as many as we can. The information is right there on the screen, 682-302-1301. If you want to text it, you said that really fast. Well, it's on the screen. Write it down. Or if you're on Facebook, go ahead and just send your question in. But also do this for me. Please, would you please do this for me? Tell me what subjects you would like to hear in the future here on your home group, because it is your home group. Okay, here we go. A deep friend of mine. It's a text. A deep friend of mine recently told me that worry and fear that God will not keep His promises is actually pride, is it? I'm reading it exactly as it came into me.
Okay.
A dear friend of mine recently told me that worry and fear that God will not keep His promises is actually pride.
Oh, worry and fear that God.
Well, sure, unbelief.
Oh, it's unbelief.
It's unbelief.
It's unbelief.
God's going to keep promises.
Well, He has to.
Or God keeps promises whether you believe Him or not.
That's right.
Yeah. Does your lack of faith change the Word of God?
He does not.
No.
Okay. He's so always going to be. Are you in pride when you tell others that you're proud of them?
I think
they're definition issues there.
It's a different definition. Even Paul said how proud he was of Timothy, but it was more of he was just encouraged by the things that he was doing, that the Lord was doing through him. That was an encouragement kind of pride.
Yeah.
We have pride in our children.
But if I let that surpassed my relationship with the Father, that's when it would get in trouble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
English language, we have words that we, you know, if you go to other languages, they have this word means this word means that. We have ways of saying the same word, and it means this over here, and it means that over there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when you tell your kids you're proud of them, and I remember Brother Copeland preaching about that, I've tried to change that and say I'm well pleased.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm well pleased with them because actually I felt that was a little bit higher.
Yeah.
That song we sing, I'm proud to be an American, at least I know I'm free. I don't think that's pride unless you're saying it such a nasty way. I think it's gratitude. Used in that context, then it's gratitude. When it's your children bringing home a good mark, you're affirming them.
Affirmation.
It's an affirmation.
Affirming.
So because we are limited with the English language, we tend to use the same word for so many things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that that's pride.
Yeah. Hmm. One of our coworkers, her daughter goes to a different church, and their daughter ran away, and it's a horrible, horrible situation. A preacher's kid that just decided she wanted to go taste the world. And so her daughter had gone through hell and high water when she was 17 years old, rebelled against them, and went out and done her own thing. But she finally got free from it, but would never, ever talk about it. So they weren't sure she really repented. So what she did last week was gave her testimony of how she rebelled against her parents and went out in the world, and it cost her about 15 years of her life. Mm. And so my friend said, I was so proud of her for doing that, but that proud was a genuine thing. I was so proud because she made the statement, I absolutely feel free now.
There you go.
I have no shame.
Well, that goes right to what Robin just wrote in. Robin wrote in, is it okay to be proud of your kids and grandkids and the things they do?
Yeah.
Absolutely. In the same way that your father.
Yeah.
Is pleased when the things that you do. Now, if you put that as an idol, that I would always point it, you know, we've had tremendous blessings and things with all of our children.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one being Matthew. And we said, and I remember when we got this with our son Matthew, you said, Jesus did this for you.
Yes.
And she was very adamant. The Lord did this. Jesus did this.
Yeah.
And I'm on the phone with Michelle when she's talking to Matt. You know, we're giving them news about something. He plays football in college. And she said, Jesus did this. She goes, you better praise Jesus right now. She's yelling at him. And the next time she's praising, and then she's yelling at him, you hear me? Get in your room and you better praise him right now.
I'm praising Jesus because it was all him.
But see what we're doing? We're proud of him and what he's done, but we're pointing him to the source where that thing came from.
Yes, that's
absolutely.
This is not your
choice.
Yes, you put the work in.
Yes.
Right. You were in the weight room all summer.
Yeah.
But you didn't do this.
Yeah.
God did
this
for you. And I think that's how, Robin, to answer your question, I think that's how we would do that. Okay, Heidi, here's your question. Heidi's question is it still pride when you don't ask for help because you don't want to cause someone else to carry the care? Okay, you threw the bracelet and they caught it. Now they're carrying.
Yeah.
Do you still have it or did you give it back?
No, she took it back.
I'm wearing it. Say it again.
Okay. Heidi, your question was this. Is it still pride when you don't ask for help because you don't want to cause someone else to carry the care?
Nobody said that.
I think if you're asking a person to carry the care, it could be.
Yeah.
But you're never going to tire Jesus out by rolling something off on him.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lord wants to help you.
And
he's
wanting the person.
He'll send the right person.
Oh, there you go. That's a really good word.
To choose the person yourself.
Yeah.
That's a really good word.
Yeah.
The Lord directs.
You're not putting the care on someone. You put the care on Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you ask him to send the person or the people or the resource or whatever that is to you.
Yeah.
He still gets the glory in it all. That other person wouldn't get the glory.
He's the orchestrator, right?
He's the orchestrator of it.
Yeah. Well, he knows how to make the connections, doesn't he?
Yeah.
There's a great story about this in the Bible, and Kelly Copeland talks about it in clip number 2. Did Jesus ever meet anybody like this? Well, I think he did when he ran into the rich young ruler. and the thing of pride there. Watch clip two. We'll come back with more of your questions and comments right after this.
Let's look at Luke 18. In Luke 18, we read in verse 18, I'm reading out of the New Living to you. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Now this calls him a religious leader, but in Mark 10, it calls him the rich young ruler. So he was rich and he was young and he had people underneath him. He was ruling over people. Well, you know, that could be a recipe for pride.
Yeah.
You know, you're rich, you're young. We'll just say he was good looking and maybe he had some pride operating in his life. But there's places that we all have pride. If we're not allowing God to correct us, then we definitely have pride. I tell you what, we were in a service recently, and Brother Keith Moore had everybody rebuke pride. He taught about pride. Everybody should listen to pride, because it's really most prideful to think, "I have no pride." Because unless you've really dug around in it, unless you've let the Lord dig it out of you and point it out to you, we have places that we need to take authority over that are prideful. And so he had us pray this prayer at the end, and he said, we said something like, you know, we resist pride and Lord, teach us and help us to recognize pride. But he warned everybody, now, you know, the Lord, you're going to face some stuff that you may not like when you start talking about rooting up pride.
Yeah, it's not a comfortable thing sometimes, is it, when we talk about rooting this up? Right. That's what we're talking about, because we want to grow, right? We want to mature. We want to be more effective in our ministry. And if you realize it or not, you're in ministry. God has disguised you. Right. You're a full-time minister. He's disguised you as whatever it is you do every day.
Amen.
And for a specific person. Guys, we have about 15 minutes left or so, and I want to thank you for your questions and your comments. Please send those in to us. They'll put the address and the information on the screen there for you. If you're on Facebook, it's simple. Just type in your question. The moderators are watching right now, and they'll send it directly to me on the iPad. And the text to question number is there. Let me know what topics you want to hear in the future. We're very interested in that. Okay, let me get onto some of these because I wanted to get to them. Tricia, here's your question. How does one bounce back from the consequences of being prideful, especially when that results in the breakup of a friendship?
How does one bounce back?
How do you bounce back from the consequences of being prideful, especially when it's broken up a friendship?
Well, you operate in humility again. So you go back to the friend, when you go back to the friend, and you would say, "You know what? I was a jerk. I wanted my way."
Well, Dale, this is the first step.
I didn't want to be.
Congratulations.
Right? So what does love do? So love is the opposite of pride, mm-hmm. right? So love doesn't seek its own way. Love is humble. Love is caring. Love looks out for the other person. So pride is exactly the opposite. I'm a jerk. I want my own way. I don't care who I got to hurt to get what I want. So she could just go be honest with that person.
Yeah. Repentant.
Yeah. Exactly. You would go apologize and
it's
say.
It's kind of like realizing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
As a believer, I'm a new creation.
Right.
I'd be swallowing your pride.
Yeah. I had a situation that very thing happened 10 years ago. I have a friend and she wanted me to come to visit her. And because my other friend was not able to get around very well, so she invited me to go, and I went. And then when I got back, I'm going to tell on myself. I just do. Tell everything. And so she found out I went, and it hurt her so bad that, you know, it just wounded her so bad. And I'm thinking, you know, we've been friends for 35 years, and I love both people. So So what am I going to do? It was in my ballpark then. So I went to her and I just said, can you forgive me?
There you go.
Even though we were looking out after you, it hurt you. And so your friendship to me is so worth preserving.
There you go.
Can you forgive me?
Love.
And she just began to weep because yeah. she was hurt. And it just wounded her. And I did not want my friendship to go away. Mm-hmm. So I had to go and just ask her to forgive me, even though we were thinking about her.
Well, it took humility.
To
ask for forgiveness.
Closest friends.
Yeah, you have to use humility. Humility comes when you ask for forgiveness. You will have to take yourself down a few notches.
Yeah.
You know, and say, no, I need to repent.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that sure helps with a marriage too, right?
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Right. I think I had to apologize this week. You know what I mean? I had to say, you know what?
I forgive you, Dale.
Yeah, okay.
No, it wasn't me. I was not apologizing.
Yeah, I had to go to Jill. So, Jill, if you're watching, you know I came to you and said, you know what? I think I pushed a few of your buttons. Yeah. and I was wrong, right? So you repent. Yeah. And after you do, then we're answering this lady's question, how do you recover from pride, right? Yeah. So you say I was wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I
thought I was right.
I don't have a husband, but right. I'm married to Jesus.
You're married to the rich man.
I'm married to a rich man. And I have to go and repent to my husband, Jesus.
That's good, Annette.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, is writing a budget pride?
No. Lord, unless your budget is your God.
I would think that's wisdom.
Not, it's not pride. It depends on how you look at your budget. Because can God get into your budget?
Woo.
Can God make changes in your budget? If God has a say in your budget, then it's not pride.
That's real good.
Okay, how do I pray for someone that I know is prideful? I got nothing to say on that. How do you pray for somebody?
How you pray for anybody.
Yes.
Anybody. Ephesians 1:18.
Yes.
If the eyes of their understanding
be enlightened,
and they know the hope of their calling, you have not messed with anything. You've prayed an Ephesians prayer over them, and you're not being judgmental. You're not fixing anything. You're giving it to God to do.
Or praying in the Spirit.
And that's casting your cares. That's a form of casting your cares.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lord, you take care of that.
Well, you can't fix it.
Bless them, Lord.
Yeah. It's not up to us to fix it. We can't fix it.
No,
only the Word of God can change.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Bonnie Jean wants to know, do pride and fear go together?
Yes, for sure.
Same source.
Absolutely. Power twin.
Non-trust,
non-love. What do you mean it's the same source?
Pride is, I can do it, right?
What's fear?
Which is the fear that God can't, so I got to do it.
But the source is the enemy. Of all of that, that comes from a thought. Mm-hmm. No, you don't need God. He told Eve. Did God really say? Did God really say?
Yeah, you do it on your own. You go get that apple.
I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah, you can meet your own needs.
And so it starts from the enemy, and he'll just plant that seed, that thought seed, and how you run with it. Then,
boy, when I think about me meeting my own needs, I really get scared. So fear really does come when I think about meeting my own needs.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, as a man, you know, Greg, me and you. We think about, I'm the provider.
Well, that's what we've been taught.
That's what we've been taught. So when you break it down, you go, man, I've got to meet these families.
I got myself into this, bless God.
Right.
Yeah. I'll get myself out of this, bless God.
That's pride.
And then when
that's pride?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's pride.
That's pride.
And then when you get honest fear comes next. It's like, I can't meet this family's needs. I can't do this. And you run to the Lord.
Yes,
you go, Father, you meet these needs. You direct me.
Okay, I don't know if this is really pride or not, but here's a text that came in, and it says, how do I get rid of the stress, or how do we get rid of stress that comes from meeting new people? Don't know who you are, but that's the question.
Well, I know what I do. Anybody else want to hit it?
You couldn't be stressed about meeting new people.
I don't. You know why?
Because you're the most outgoing.
I am. Yeah. But you know how I got that way?
Yeah.
Through confessions.
Well, wait a minute.
Right? So if you want
So wait a minute.
Okay.
Jill is quiet.
Oh, she is.
and
Dale, peaceful and lovely.
And peaceful.
All right.
And Dale is like.
And then there's you.
Right. Then there's you. Wait a minute. So you've been stressful meeting new people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I remember him when he first came here.
That was quieter.
He is blossomed.
Yeah, so my beliefs have changed.
You said you did it by confession.
I do it by confession. Yeah. So the word says this: a man sows a seed, he goes to bed, and he grows, and he knows not how. So that if you want to change a belief is a seed, correct? A belief is a seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I change my beliefs before I go to bed.
Yep.
So I sow new beliefs before I go to bed.
How do you do that? What do you mean?
What I say
you're out in the yard? Is that what you're telling me?
So when I'm going to sleep at night, I'll go, you know what? I love people. I actually love people. I'm sowing this into my heart. I actually love people. So this is the seed I'm sowing before I go to bed. I actually love people. I care about people. I want to help people. And you know what? People actually love me. Mm-hmm. So I sow that into my life before I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And what's it say? It says, in the next day, it's grown and I know not how.
Yeah.
So everyone that I meet, I've already sown that into myself. I love them. I care about them. And you know what?
So
they love me.
You're recreating your image.
I'm recreating a new belief.
Into a new person, the person that you truly are by the Spirit.
That's right.
That goes hand in hand with Brother Kenneth Copeland's clip number 5, talking about when we're a new creation in Christ Jesus and what that's like. Let's watch that. We'll wrap it up after that.
Amen. So the Word was the seed in Mary's womb. And produced the last Adam. Mm-hmm. He was the second, but he's not just the second. He's the last one. There ain't gonna be another one.
That's right. Come on.
Because this one didn't goof it off like the first one did. You know. So, well, I don't see how come God let him do that. Well, there wasn't no letting him do anything. The man's exactly like God. He makes the decision to do what he decided to do. And where he messed up was when he decided to do something other than what God had said. That got him out of the God class and dumped him over there below the angel class. And then you and I were there until we said, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Now, when that happened, the scripture says, any man that is in Christ is a new creation. See, you're not just a forgiven sinner. You were created just as much as Adam was created. Amen. And the scripture says in the book of Ephesians, created in Christ Jesus. Glory. As he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Born again. This is the one I like. I'm telling you, very few hours go by that I don't think about this, man. Born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Well, you see, Brother Copeland, I could be just like Jesus. You mean you got a bad seed? Well, you know, I don't know. I don't think I got that kind of faith. The faith was in the seed, darling. The righteousness is in the seed. The life is in the seed. You made Jesus the Lord of your life. The sower sowed the word, and the word was the seed. And you were created, born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You're not a little bit like Jesus. You are exactly like Jesus. Amen. Oh, Brother Copeland, that's pride. No, that's faith. See, you've been so hung up in that false humility, you don't know the difference between faith and pride. The scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. Amen. Amen. When you stand up and you quote 1 John 3 and you say, thank God, beloved, what manner of love that God called me his son or called me his daughter. Whoa, you didn't take anything away from God. No.
God.
Wow. Okay. Talked about false humility.
Yeah.
That's not pride, mm-hmm. to compare yourself to the word.
That's right. Yes.
To that seed. Right?
It's the image that you're putting
in. And that's what you do every night.
Right. Yep.
Right? And so that's the answer you're telling.
Yeah, you take the word and you sow it into your garden. So there's three scriptures for sowing into your garden or into your heart before you go to sleep at night. It says, a man sows a seed, then he goes to bed, and he rises in it, he knows not how. Then the next one is, do not be anxious, do not be angry. And don't let the anger
sun go down on your wrath.
That's it. So in other words, you aren't living in that image of anger and frustration before you go to bed, because the next day lest you sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is, good master, did you not sow good seed in your field?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. But while I slept, an enemy entered in and sowed tares.
And that's what home group is all about, and that's why we're here. We got a
Get the right belief. Couple of minutes left.
The word that he planted, the power of what he wanted was in that seed.
Yes.
And that seed will produce what's in the seed.
Yes.
He said what he wanted. He wanted to be not bashful, not
timid. I plant what I want, don't
he
I?
Plant, and you put the power in the seed.
Yeah. And the power's in the Word of God. So if you get it out of the Word, it's incorruptible.
Amen. That's right. It's incorruptible. But the seed, if I plant a tomato plant, we get a
somebody else's opinions, things you see on TV.
Yeah.
That's why you got to watch what you watch. And
they're corruptible. They're corrupted seed.
Because those are corrupted seeds.
They're corrupted seeds.
And what you're saying about going to bed, what do you say to yourself? Brother Copeland was just talking about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to yourself before you go to bed? What thoughts are you going to bed
with?
Get it straightened out. So Psalm 92 in the New Living, verse 2, well, verse 1 says, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High, because, you know, I'm going to bring praise and worship back in.
There you go.
It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. So it tells you already what to do.
And
night you talk about his faithfulness. In the morning you're going to proclaim his unfailing love. You're really not going to have time to get into pride. Verse 4 says, you thrill me, Lord, with all you've done for me. I sing for joy because of what you've done.
And that's how we'll leave it tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go more.
We're out of time. I want to thank you, all of you, for your questions and comments. I want to thank all of you for being on the panel tonight. Talking about probably going back to school and stress and strife and different things. You have nothing to fear about your kids going to school this year.
That's
decree
true.
It. Join us Sunday morning at Eagle Mountain International Church Faith Foundations and the regular service. Know this, God loves you.
Yes.
We love you.
And Jesus is Lord.